Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh my god, this guy's gonna swing on Jim. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN.
We're learning a lot about each other.
We got Homer, Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
We have
pessimist Molly.
No. Realist.
And then contrarian.
Total.
Jim Rutledge here.
It's Murr.
I'm the problem. It's Mister.
Could it be possible you guys are the best show in ESPN Wisconsin, the whole state?
Yeah, obviously.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
You're the best.
I mean,
broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside Matt Hamilton, here's Jim Rutledge.
Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. Matt Hamilton of the Mountain Jim Blue. You know what to do.
And that's Crook. Coors Light.
That's right. Matt Hamilton back in the building. Molly Brown was here for a segment earlier. So you can listen back to Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page. Primetime Laura Sean behind the glass. Chrissy Birdsall in the Everlight Solar Studio as well. And we got a couple different poll questions going on here. Maybe we could throw the other side of the unlimited poll questions. And you can chime in on them. At ESPN Madison is on Twitter. Otherwise, you can chime in 844-770-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text line. List is more. What's the worst trade in Wisconsin sports history? You can chime in with other ones, but 55% of you said trading Ray Allen. 35% of you said trading Dirk Nowitzki's draft pick. Nobody's voted for trading Tyrell Buckley, and 10% of you voted for trading for Dame. And I would like to throw up a question, a second one. This one at Jim, Matt, Molly. Would you have traded Luka Doncic or traded Giannis for Luka Doncic?
Giannis, that's a good point.
I'll tell you what. Fans would be crushed. Obviously, Giannis is gone. Luka would be embraced. Luka would be embraced in the area, without a doubt.
Well, yeah.
A Slovenian basketball player who loves beer and loves to eat. Honestly, it probably would have ruined his career. So maybe that was a smart move. Like, Milwaukee might have ended his career. If the rumors and reports are true about Luka's lack of conditioning, love to eat and drink beer and such, that Milwaukee might have ended him.
I mean, I really think a lot of that is just Dallas trying to spin something that's been taken so poorly.
Well, he's always been a play in the shape guy. Like, there's been from the beginning worries about his condition. Like, he's more of a, I'll show up. And
no, I agree with that. But like, when a guy can go out and drop 70 on a team, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Like,
yes,
I'm not going to argue with the guy.
I agree.
Hey, what you're doing is not working, bud.
Right. Like, I mean, as Ryan Russillo said
MVP
on the Bill Simmons
year, he was
podcast, Luka could be bringing the ball up with smoking a cigarette. And he doesn't care.
Did he? Was Luka the MVP last year?
Honestly,
no, he was not. I believe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was. I believe. I could very well be wrong. It might have been. The other European from the Western Conference.
Jokic.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. You're trying to get in my ear there.
Yes, it was Jokic. You're just getting your Europeans mixed up.
Well, I mean, it wasn't mixed up, but he was definitely in the.
He got his team to the NBA Finals,
and he got votes for the MVP of the league.
Luka is one of the top three players in the league right now. I would probably say, who's the best player in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard much about Joker this year. I'm sure he's good. But
I would say Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Tatum, and then after that, there's a handful of guys who are great. Most people take him on the team.
Once again, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In that, absolutely. So I mean, like, there's a lot of talent in the league, but I think Giannis is still top. I think Giannis is still top two, and I think Luka is probably three or four. Depending on what you think of Shai. So, regardless, the five-year trade-off, I would have considered. I still would keep Giannis. He's a big, he's athletic, he loves the city. But if you're the Bucks GM, you're at least like, well, tell me more. It, like, that's at least a conversation. The Bucks, honestly, outside of what Victor and a few other players, if someone called the Bucks and said, "What about Giannis?" You'd click,
yeah, for sure.
Luka's not an instant hang up. Victor's not an instant hang up.
No, you're definitely gonna hear out Wemby, right?
You probably hear out Jokic too, to be honest. Hear it out
for sure.
Have a conversation
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few that you hear out, but most teams you're just hanging up. Like if the Bulls called and said Giannis, you just hang up. You got nothing.
Nothing we want. Nothing
as soon as you coffers. Saw the Chicago area code, you just ignore it.
True, because there's just nothing in the coffers there that you'd be like, Well, no, because the Bucks could have used Zach LaVine.
Oh, that's good.
So they have to at least say, who are you interested in?
Yeah, and then like, as soon as they say Giannis,
hang up.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's Giannis is essentially, you're never trading him for much of anything. And yeah, I'm going to say this in like 2 days, he's going to be traded for like 17 first round picks.
Oh, to 2040. I'll give you a first in 2040.
And John Horst
39,
is going to tell us
38.
About all these high school kids they drafted, these guys who barely could hang on in random leagues we've never heard of. And like, hey, in 5 years, when this guy's 22, we're going to be good.
We're going to be super good.
Yeah. Let's go.
Bucks. How's Marjan doing this year?
They can't give him away, literally. They are trying to trade him so bad.
The Mavs actually called with the Luka trade, and the Bucks offered back Marjan.
Ah, and they turned that down.
I can't believe it, right?
Unbelievable.
Honestly, the way that Dallas does business, the Bucks missed out not trading Dame for Luka. You want like an old, talented player?
Yeah, but they have a shooter. They needed a big.
I don't know what Dallas was doing. They had Luka and Kyrie and went to the NBA Finals. So.
No, totally. I don't say they're wrong, but like you can't get rid of your Luka and then be like, yeah, we'll take basically an older version of Kyrie.
Yeah, instead we're like, you know, can we take an old, broken down center who played the most amount of games in his career last year and it was in the 70s? Yeah that guy.
Looking at the responses to our Citing Unlimited poll question so far, it's pretty split on whether or not the Dame trade was a good one. The comments, at least, the replies, some saying, why is Dame even on here? Or why the is Dame even on here? And others saying that Dame was the worst pick, or the worst trade, I should say, for all of Wisconsin sports history.
How is it not at all in the conversation that the Bucks screwed up that trade?
It's in the conversation.
Even though Dame is a great player, the Bucks kind of screwed that up.
I mean, I don't think we're in that much better of a position with Holiday.
Wins and losses, they are worse than the way we were with Holiday. With essentially the same team.
Like, people were, like, our players were younger. Giannis was younger. Chris was younger. Like, I'm saying if Holiday was on the team right now, I don't know how much better the Bucks would be.
Well,
right? Like, it ended up being you traded a guy that's going to help you avoid points or avoid the other team scoring points for a guy who's going to help you keep up with the other team scoring points.
I know, and I liked the trade at the time, but looking back at it, I mean, Drew was also, to your point, vibes. Like, he's the locker room leader.
Yeah.
Dame's getting $54 million this year, $58 million next year. Drew is averaging $30 to $37 million.
So maybe you get another piece.
Maybe. There's $30 million in there, yeah.
20.
They trade the corpse of Chris Middleton, and now we're cooking.
I mean,
all respect to Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
But
who's not playing tonight?
Of course not.
Well, in his defense, neither is Chris Middleton or Dame or Giannis.
Great.
Or Brooke Lopez.
Great.
No, Brooke's questionable.
Who are they going to run out there tonight? Marjan's getting some time tonight, baby.
Actually, Matt, you have to leave.
Yeah. I got to get to Milwaukee.
Could you imagine, Matt? Do you think Matt could even get a shot up?
No.
In a half quarter?
If it was a half quarter and no one was, and they were picking me up at the top of the key, I could maybe hit one from like half court.
Victor would block it. Have you seen some of his blocks? Like, he would get there and block it. The block he had on Dame against the Bucks just this over the weekend. That ball, I swear, was 15 feet in the air. And Victor went up and got it and just swatted it away.
I mean, the guy's got to be 10 feet, 11 feet tall. You throw a little jump in there, he's getting pretty close to 15
feet. And he's got,
like,
cat-like reflexes. I mean, honestly, like, I wonder how, like, between both of us, but like how far away Victor could be from us and us trying to start a shot and him still be able to block it.
Ugh.
It'd be pretty far away.
It'd be humbling is what it'd be.
Yeah, I mean, more for you than me because I know I'm not athletic, but you're an Olympian and like
yeah, I like to live under the guise of an athlete.
You're an Olympian, but like yeah, obviously it's different. I mean,
yeah,
it's an alien.
Winter sport. Yeah, winter sport
on ice.
On ice, I bet you I could slide circles around Victor Wembanyama.
I feel like he'd pick up that pretty quick too, though.
I don't know. Long, like, I don't think being tall is an asset in curling. He's about as tall as
curling, yes. You said on the ice, like, I thought you meant like.
Oh, I said slide, too. I was insinuating curling.
Gotcha. Yeah,
we
curling,
don't skate,
yes.
We slide.
You would kick his butt in curling, yes.
But here's the thing. He would at least, like, luck his way into some points. I don't think I could luck my way into, like, in a one-on-one game. I don't think I'm lucking into any points.
If he wanted to.
He could get lucky and throw a stone and land in the middle and be like, oh, scored.
If he wanted to. You would probably never even get the ball onto the ground. Like, when you tried to dribble, he would just grab it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as you turn to go, you'd be like, I'm just going to take that. Me too. Like,
yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you. I
like, the Giannis would be the same.
Yeah. They'd probably humor you and let you dribble a little bit. Honestly, they'd probably be more interested in trying to, like, completely block it. So they'd probably give you this feeling
you
that
feel
you're
like
open.
A toddler. Like, when you're going against your dad, like, oh, a pump, pump, pump. Wham!
Yeah, just stuffed right back in there. That would be rough.
844-770-3776. Would you have traded Giannis for Luka? And we are asking you, what's the worst trade in Wisconsin sports history? Some people getting worked up that Dame is in the deal. You don't make trades to, at best, be a net zero. Like, at best case scenario, the trade had zero impact on the Bucks, but it had a massive impact on Boston because Portland then immediately, like, if you couldn't foresee that happening, a la Danny Ainge, did you see the reports that Danny Ainge apparently was unaware that the Lakers were the other team in this trade and that Luka was going to end up on the Lakers? He would not have facilitated the trade if he knew that was the case. But anyways, the John Horst had to be aware because it was being predicted, like, as it was happening that Drew could make his way to Boston, that he had to be aware that that was on the table.
Yeah.
So even if it was a net zero
with
for the Bucks,
how fast it happened, there had to have been some rumors.
So even if it was a net zero on the, like, for the Bucks on paper, like their actual roster,
the fact that he went to an Eastern Conference team that
made them a champion.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Holiday on that team was the difference for the Boston Celtics. His defense, his leadership, all of it.
Yeah.
Chalmers Jewelers is Madison's custom jeweler. They have two locations, one in Madison, one in Middleton. Family-owned jeweler, custom jeweler, whether it's engagement rings, wedding bands, fixing jewelry, watches, any of those things, go to Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. Madison's custom and Madison's family jeweler. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son. Big a battalini, meeny, miny, moe, and flower, you're the chosen one.
Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube page. Matt in his Cream City hat. Are you expecting the Milwaukee Bucks, not Hamilton, to make a move? Do they need to make a move?
Like you said, they kind of drained a lot of their assets. There's not a whole lot of assets that the Bucks have that people are, like, breaking down the door to try and get outside of Giannis. Like, we're kind of stuck. For a little bit. We kind of have to ride this Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton experiment out because we traded away a handful of first-rounders to Portland. Like, I just don't know how set up we are. Like, you talk about a full-on rebuild if we got Luka. What do we have to rebuild with?
Look, forget even the rebuild. Like, they don't have... Not to get too much into it, Matt Hamilton, Jim Rutledge, we're live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Light. It's the Bucks with the apron and the salary cap. Like, they can't add salaries to, like, match another player. Like, they have to trade. Like, basically all they can do is if they trade Chris Middleton, they have to trade him for another guy. the exact same salary, which means you're trading for someone else's distressed asset who maybe is a little bit healthier. Maybe that's Jimmy Butler. Maybe that's Kyle Kuzma. And we can talk about that a little bit later. The Green Bay Packers are not in the news, but the Browns have been informed by Myles Garrett that he wants to be traded. Now, reports out of Cleveland says the Browns are not necessarily running to abide to this sort of question, this sort of request, and maybe they'll try to work it out. But Packers names, at least Packer fans, have floated it. And I want you to chime in, 844-770-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more. Aside from the limited poll question we're going to throw out there, another one. I don't know if we're putting it at Jim, Matt, and Molly or at ESPN Madison. We're just throwing it out to our listeners. But the question is, would the Packers, are they more likely to make a trade for Myles Garrett or make a trade, I would say significant trade up in the draft? Like, what do we think as a consensus? I want to do this thought exercise. Do we think it's 3 first-round picks to get Myles Garrett?
How far are you allowed to trade first rounds out in the NFL?
Enough. They can do 3.
You can do 3.
Yeah.
Man.
This year and the next 2.
Right. The way Goody holds on to his draft picks, like, I can't really see it personally. I think I would, to take a proven player like Myles Garrett. He's under 30. He's probably like 27, I would guess. Like, I would think that would extend this window that we're looking at for the Packers as far as this.
Myles Garrett is 29.
29.
He'll turn 30 during the season.
And but Max Crosby is, because he's the other defensive end that you would want.
But there's no smoke to Max Crosby is more of like, oh, why would the Raiders keep him? Myles Garrett is saying he wants to go. So Crosby, right. there's only smoke created by, like, why would the Raiders keep him? They are a bad team. Mm-hmm. They should move off of him. That's a little bit more conjecture. Myles is saying he wants to be gone.
I mean, still, 29, you've got to think he's got 3-4 more years of solid football in him. Like,
yeah, it doesn't change what you're saying.
I don't know. It's one of those moves that it kind of, like, other than the Jordan Love pick, this is going to define Goody as a GM. Right? Like, if it works out, you made one of the smartest trades in Packers history.
Defensive player of the year.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, you gave up three first round picks, like, sabotaged the future of the team for a guy who's 29 years old turning 30 that season, right? Like, it's there's a little risk reward that needs to be played. I can't see Goody doing it because of the way he structured this team and the fact that there might be, I think, are kickers the only one over 30 on the team? Like, I can't see him doing it.
No, I agree with you. Phil Wanneke says, give Cleveland 3 first-rounders. Goody can't draft in the first round anyways.
Dude, super good point. Very good point, but
if I'm not mistaken, you're arguing the Packers won't do this. Not that they shouldn't, because
exactly
you can poke a lot of holes in the Packers' plan.
No, I would love it. If I'm the GM and they called me up and they're like, "Hey, we'll take 3 first rounders for you for Myles Garrett," I'd be like, "Done. Say less. I'll send a contract over."
Would you? What do you think is more like? Or they trade up? Let's just say, all right, they're not going to get Abdul Carter.
I said that they trade up into the top 10 of the draft.
Okay, so they're not going to get Abdul Carter. He's going to be number 1. So that would take probably 3 first as well. But I'm just looking at ESPN.
But that's an unproven guy. Even for that, I don't love
the contract and the Packers campaigning one now that Jordan Love's contract's starting to hit. So looking at Matt Miller's mock draft on ESPN, I'm trying to think here. I think I saw a So Jalen Walker, an edge from Georgia, he's mocked at 8 to Carolina. So let's just play this out. But the Packers probably have to give up this year's first and next year's first and maybe like something in the later rounds this year to move up
like
to
a
8.
Fourth or something.
Third. I don't have the Jimmy Johnson, but regardless, it would be a pick swap and another first at a minimum, plus maybe a second or third rounder. Probably something pretty high, depending on what year. If it was this year, it's probably like a third. If you did next year, it might be a second. Usually a little flexibility on that. So Jalen Walker, I mean, just looking at this, he had 6.5 sacks at Georgia. That's Goody's favorite place to draft defensive players from.
It is.
Felt like Green Bay to
me. Loves pressures, 29 pressures.
Pressure.
7 TFLs. And the question would be, like, he's a freak of nature. He has versatility and speed off the edge. This just sounds like Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy who could be that future game changer that you'd have on an affordable contract for a while. So, like, that would be the guy. In theory, based off mock drafts, you'd trade up for that.
This guy has done fine at the college level.
I'm not asking what you would do. What do you think Goody's more likely to do?
Goody's more likely to move up in the draft and take a rookie and take someone who's young that he can mold and build into the player he wants or hope that he can. I can't say he never takes players because, like, we went out and got Jacobs and we got Xavier McKinney this year.
Yeah, but draft capital he doesn't do.
But draft capital, yeah, he does not screw around with draft capital. He loves to make picks.
It's so valuable. So
Brian Gutekunst at his end of season press conference talked about the value of draft picks and possibly trading for players this offseason. After you hear this, let's see what you think about, you know, it really enforces what Matt Hamilton is saying.
What's your philosophy about trading a really high pick for a player?
You better be right, you know, because those picks are, you know, I think, and I'm assuming you're talking about a player, like a veteran player, right? Yeah. When you trade a high pick for a veteran player, you're trading a young, really good contract for a player who's proven, but probably expensive, you know, so you're giving up a pick in salary cap space. So I think you got to weigh that, you know, and if it's the right player, if you feel he can be a dynamic player that can change your football team, I think you got to consider that because there's not many of those guys out there. But I think you have to also understand what you're giving up, you know.
There's like a player on every single football team that is a dynamic enough where you would take them and they would change your football team. I think every team in the NFL has a player like that. That you'd be like, oh yeah, I'd trade a pick for a proven player.
Myles Garrett, 2 years, or obviously not this last season, but the season before, was basically the MVP of defense.
Yeah.
He is still 29 years old. He changes everything. You know who's more effective? Rashawn Gary. Like, Rashawn Gary is better at football if Myles Garrett is there.
Well, hold on. Let me ask Matt Hamilton something. Do you do this trade if it's two first-round picks and Rashawn Gary?
Done. Done.
I thought he's your guy.
He is my guy.
The pressure king.
Pressure.
Cleveland, honestly, and I don't mean this just to rip on Rashawn Gary, because of that contract and lack of production, if they were going to do it, it'd probably be more like Lucas Van Ness, because, again, on a rookie-scale deal.
You do that?
Two first.
Yeah.
Two first and Van Ness. We probably have to give up something else in there, too.
Let's go!
Like a third round, whatever.
I think Lucas Van Ness would be like, I get it.
Yes. Rashawn Gary, it's just a matter of, like, if you're Cleveland, you really want to move off a contract
to pick up another big contract
who's not as productive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd assume if
you get some first rounders, though. So
yeah,
but
you'd rather have the younger player in Van Ness and say, like, you know what, we get two first rounders, maybe an extra pick in there, and we get Van Ness that we can maybe try to fix. Get something out of.
Yeah. Myles Garrett is, like you said, 2 years ago he was arguably the best player on defense in the entire NFL. It's to not go for someone who's proven like that, and to have the hubris to think, especially with your track record of first round picks, that you could find someone as good and then use a rookie scale deal, or maybe not even as good, but even comparable, is a little, it's crazy. I think he overvalues draft picks when maybe he thinks it's like the easy way out, picking up a proven player from somebody and then taking the contract on. I get like a little bit of Aaron Rodgers vibes from Goody. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And when he makes comments like this on how, like, sure, you better be right, and that was a little bit coach talk, but like, I feel like you're overvaluing first round picks. Lots of first rounders turn out to be duds. Or at the very least, just average NFL players, where you're hoping every first round pick you get is a guy who could be a Hall of Fame candidate, right? Like, that's the hope.
So speaking,
and you
of,
haven't nailed one yet.
The pack, yes, I agree. Speaking of the Packers pass rush, so I was this morning on PFF.com. They did a mock draft, so I was like, I'll check with the Bears, I check on the Packers, some, you know, Vikings, Lions, like, what are some Chiefs, like, what are some team, like, what are they mocking here? So they have Number 23, the Green Bay Packers, Nick Scorton, Texas A&M, a defensive player.
Of course.
An edge. Although, and this is the part that was interesting to me. Although the Packers finished top five in sacks during the regular season, they led the NFL in unblocked sacks, raising concerns about the sustainability of their pass rush. Have you ever, and that's the part that stood out at me. Have you, and then I'll say this, among Green Bay's four edge rushers with 150 or more pass rush snaps in 2024, only Rashawn Gary posted a double-digit pass rush win rate. So, have you ever in your life heard the term unblocked sacks as like a stat or something to track?
I have heard about it. It's more recent, like within the last 2 to 3 years.
This was new to me.
That makes me think that it was a little more scheme-driven than...
I think that was they played the Texans and the Titans who couldn't block.
So
for sure, but like those are obviously blown coverages, right? Like,
yeah,
for the O-line. But like, so I attribute some of that to scheme.
Well, they don't. So they would say that is much like turnovers. Like turnovers, you can't roll over year over year.
Well, I agree. It's unsustainable.
Like, right. So like the idea
people are going to figure out Jeff Halfley too.
It's not a scheme. It's that you had to blitz. So it's an indication that your team blitzes more than normal. And that's why you have so many. And having to blitz to get pressure is not the way to get things done.
There's
two indication of a team.
So basically, it's an indication that your front line, your defensive line, is not getting it done, winning, and to the point, and it's backed up by Rashawn Gary was the only player on the defensive line that had a positive win percentage or a double digit win percentage rate. So that says that obviously Rashawn Gary didn't get enough sacks, but at least he got some pressures. Nobody else was doing their job. And so then Jeff Halfley had to blitz.
Right.
And so that's why you give up 30 points to the Vikings and 30 points to the Lions and 30 points to the Eagles twice. I mean,
and you get 9 sacks against the Titans and you get 7 sacks against the Texans.
Let's go.
Correct.
Right. So, but yes, it's the idea of if you have that many, it's because you're blitzing a lot. And you're blitzing a lot because you can't get pressure otherwise.
Yeah.
You get sacks otherwise.
And that's why you go and get a guy like Myles Garrett, because he is going to beat his guy and not just get pressures, but he's going to get the sack as well.
Rick and DeForest chimes in, worst trade ever, trading Davante Adams.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
We should have put that on the list. That would have been way better than Terrell Buckley. Oh,
yeah. More relevant. The Terrell Buckley trade is pretty horrible, but it's a long time ago.
I don't think
anyone
remembers.
If you trade away a Pro Bowl player for past considerations, a player that goes on to go to multiple Pro Bowls for like, you just saw it back in the day. You can take them.
I will say only 0.8% of the respondents agree with you right now.
Well, because nobody knows. I don't think anyone. Also, Terrell Buckley, just a quick side.
Wait, that was your vote? You voted?
No, I didn't vote for Terrell Buckley. But Terrell Buckley has one of the most, like, compared to who he was to what people think of him, the biggest disconnect.
When did he play?
He was a high pick against Florida, from Florida State. And he played, I'll give you all the information on the other side, because here's the thing. People crapped on him because he wasn't Deion Sanders, but he was a very good corner. And people just lost their mind because it's like, well, we used the high pick, and then it didn't work out. We got throwing stones. Maybe we'll get to it a little bit later, because I also want to talk about the Grammys. Poor Drake. This is Jim, Matt, Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand. Yeah.
Come back with I don't know if there's a radio. Is this song playing on the radio? Not this one, but the Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar. Is that, I don't listen to terrestrial radio outside of like sports, so ESPN Madison and ESPN Chicago.
Terrestrial, instead of alien radio.
But
oh my god.
That's what it's called, right?
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right. It's just such a funny way to AM FM.
Terrestrial.
Terrestrial. Take me to
your
leader.
You're being extra. That's what you're being.
Take me to your leader, Jim. I would love to listen to some of the radio you're getting.
This guy. Afraid of, gets mad at big words. Matt Hamilton. Jim Rutledge with you. Live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Life. The mountains are blue. You know what to do.
And that's Crush a Coors Life.
You can see us on ESPN Madison YouTube page. And we're going to get to throwing stones. But wait, you didn't answer the question, Ryan. You're the terrestrial guy.
I'm the terrestrial guy?
Yeah, you look like you listen to a lot of terrestrial radio.
I listen to 100.5. That's about it.
Chrissy, do you listen to terrestrial radio?
In New York, I do.
Like, so
back
is
in my hometown, yeah.
Is Not Like Us on the radio?
No, they would never play that on the
okay,
radio.
Okay, I mean,
way
like,
too many curse words.
There's a lot of song, like a lot of really, you know, a lot of bleep, you know, things like that. So I didn't know if they cleaned it up and put it out there. So how, it's funny that a song that is like the equivalent for me is Hit 'Em Up from Tupac, which is a pretty aggressive diss track. I don't even know if I could say the Ice Cube one. It's No Blink, no Blake. And so you can kind of guess what that one is. So, like, again, an aggressive song didn't win Grammys. Neither one of those won Grammys. The fact that Kendrick Lamar won a Grammy for that song is insane. So let's get to Throwing Stones.
1, 2, 3,
Some takes are cooler than others.
You know this kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Some opinions are just cooler than the rest.
That was cooler than being cool.
And if you keep it chill, then it's a cold take.
Chill out.
I'm chill. I'm chill as a cucumber, man.
I'm always the coldest.
This is Throwing Stones, presented by Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's chillest Kia dealership.
All right, Jim Rutledge, you got some minor throw stones to throw today. What do you got for
a
us?
A minor one. No, it's not even necessarily a stone. I just enjoyed the Grammys last night. I guess I have a stone to throw at Kanye West, but I would say Beyonce winning Country Music Album of the Year made me very happy on many levels. And then she won a bunch of other awards. The performances that I've seen so far have been good. My girls are very excited, so we're going to go home. When I get home tonight, we'll watch some more of them. We saw Sabrina Carpenter and we saw Billie Eilish. The performances were very dramatic. They were almost like live videos where they weren't just on stage singing a song. And Sabrina Carpenter was doing kind of an old vaudeville act and kind of having some fun with it. And Billie Eilish was on some sort of weird cornfield thing, but at least it was visually appealing.
Benson Boone had like the 60s jumper.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten to that one yet, but Chapel Roan looks like she blew the top off the place. But I just, Kendrick Lamar, I don't know if anyone's won a musical battle. I don't know any non-fisticuff battle that's ever been won by anyone more than Kendrick Lamar. Because one, you put out this great rebuttal, this back and forth between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. And then the song gets nominated for a Grammy. And then you win a Grammy. And then everyone in the building, which is full of musical artists, are singing along to the words of your song and chiming in with a minor, and if yeah. you know, singing it all together. You got Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, Beyonce, all of them singing it. And you collect, I think, 3 Grammys for that song over the course of the night. And then, Matt, how many people, what is it, 50 million people watched the Super Bowl?
What?
No, I think it's more than that. I think it's closer to 100
million. 100
million.
So 100 million people, and then however many at Super Bowl, are all going to be saying a minor, including minors, at the same time. Like, yeah. Drake just needs to blame tariffs and never come back from Canada. And just be like, I'm tariffed into Canada. I can't ever leave.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would try and reboot Degrassi at that point.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be an actor again.
Start selling Sprite and you started from the bottom and now you're back there.
You're Drake. Back to the bottom.
Yes. It was it was pretty brutal. But also Kanye West, what are we doing? He wasn't invited to the Grammys. Showed up with his model wife and had her unveil, she's naked. I don't know what you would describe the clothing on, there was something over her clothing.
Yeah, it was essentially like,
what?
The same material that like hosiery's made out of, right?
Hosiery, I like it. I guess, I don't know.
Isn't that what it is?
Honestly, at first, when I
saw.
Panty
hosiery, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't like that.
I like it better than the way Matt said it, I'll be honest.
No,
yeah,
Ryan.
Yeah. It's what Ryan wears when he's out in the evenings, over his head.
Just over looking his head. Take that how you will, people. Look out!
Listening to Drake. So, like, when we are, like, looking at this, it was obviously inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But it also was uncomfortable in the idea that why is Kanye... why would she show up naked like that? The whole thing felt, like, cultish.
I mean, their whole, like,
or abusive
thing,
like, it just
goes on. It's so weird. Like, they wear the weirdest stuff. Like, that was obviously so over
naked,
the line. But,
yes.
Like, some of the other clothes that... he's wearing and she's wearing, it's nuts.
Yes, but nothing in my life has ever come close to a woman showing up naked on the red carpet.
Yeah,
that's... Also, uninvited. Kanye West not invited to the Grammys, so shows up uninvited to this and then does not allowed in. Not just because she was naked, but because you weren't invited.
I mean, sometimes your clout will only get you so far.
To the door.
To the door.
Yeah, and then he gets shown the door.
Does Kanye even have any clout anymore?
No, I mean...
I don't think he does.
He's still Kanye.
But who... I mean, honestly, like, I don't... Who's riding or dying with... Like, Kanye has not put out a popular album in, like, 6 years.
Yeah?
His shoes don't exist anymore. He is basically run out of all of the world for being a pretty rampant anti-Semite. So, like...
Yeah.
I don't know who's riding with Kanye anymore.
It's fair.
I'm not saying that he wasn't a cultural icon.
Yeah, some of that older...
He was.
Dropout,
his
Graduation.
First, I think I was looking at his first four or five, maybe even six albums, I thought they were great.
I even liked 808 and Heartbreak, but...
That carries it through. And then it was like... Basically, after he collabed with Jay-Z, and then like after that, there was nothing of really...
Significance.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't do movies. His clothing line, like, that's all null and void.
Well, that's the thing, is he went so off the deep end, no one wants to work with him on anything. Like, he's
right.
Just,
so, like,
he blackballed himself.
What did you say before about Kanye? Didn't you just say it a second ago? Like,
does he have any clout?
Yes. I think not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's still Kanye, but it's just
not
like,
nearly to the amount he had. It's basically nothing considering he could get in anywhere.
He's a relic.
You know, I thought of one too. Who has less clout now in 2025? Kanye West or Aaron Rodgers?
I thought you were saying Drake.
Well, Drake's the lowest. And we can all agree Drake is at the bottom.
Who's falling off more, Kanye or Aaron Rodgers?
Can we
post that as a Jim, Matt, Molly?
I don't think we need to get into those weeds.
It's
got to
be Kanye.
You think so?
Yeah. I think so.
Probably, yeah, because Kanye passed.
Kanye's done worse.
Crossed some lines that are way crazier.
But
like,
also, like,
telling people, like, everybody right now is telling you, like, what you shouldn't do for your body. Like, that is something that you can weed through on your own. Kanye is straight up a bad person.
Yes, true. And also Kanye, the heights. He passed the mom test. And like, yes, Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people knew Aaron Rodgers was, but like, if you dropped Aaron Rodgers' name and Kanye West's name and like. Nebraska, or I should say, like some like a hipster neighborhood in LA.
Kanye was probably bigger.
Yeah, so like
if he dropped his name in Finland,
like I've said this before, like for a hot minute, Jordan Rodgers could have been more famous than Aaron because he was on The Bachelor, and more people know The Bachelor in that tiny little moment of the off season in the NFL and Jordan Rodgers on The Bachelor. Like Jordan Rodgers was a star, like passes the mom test.
Maybe
depends on what your mom's into. Mom watched The Bachelor? She doesn't watch The Bachelor. She doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't like that. All right, it's Jim, Matt, and Molly.
That's twice in one segment, Ryan.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Song, one song only.
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Light. We're on the ESPN Madison YouTube page. Nobody's playing for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight.
So anyone betting on the Bucks tonight, I'm sorry. You should try and change that bet if possible before the game starts. Or hedge it and try and do what you can with the Thunder, who the Bucks are playing, the 38-9 Thunder.
He's Matt Hamilton. I am Jim Rutledge. We are live in the Everlight Solar Studio. Primetime will shine behind the glass. And I wanted to talk about Terrell Buckley as a player in the with the Green Bay Packers and how he was slandered mainly because he played for the Packers 92 through 94. And Packer fans, I think, just hated him because he was the fifth overall pick and he wasn't Deion Sanders. He is currently, by the way, the head coach at Mississippi Valley State. So good for him. Doing well post-career. He played from 1992 through 2005. So, and has been an assistant coach since 2007 in, mostly in college football. Actually, all in college football. And then, obviously, just recently a head coach. He is a Super Bowl champion. He won the Jim Thorpe Award.
Who did he win the Super Bowl with?
Let's see here.
Say?
He won it with the Patriots. I don't know which team he was on. But he won. It was Patriots-Rams Super Bowl. I have to look back to see what team he was on during that window there. He was on the Patriots. So he won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. And then, obviously, All-America. He was great in college. But in the NFL, he finished his NFL career with 50 interceptions. Including 1998, he had 8 interceptions with the Dolphins after he was traded to the Dolphins. So with the Dolphins, he had 22 interceptions over the course of five seasons. He was a very good player. He basically was given away by the Packers. And Packer fans really honestly just acted like he was Tony Mandrich when he was probably, if he had played for the Packers his entire career, he very much had like an A.J. Hawk type career. Of like, good player, drafted too high. And that was Terrell Buckley's sin, because he was just drafted too high. But he was a good NFL player. I'm sorry, you don't play from 1992 through 2005 and intercept 50 passes if you're not a good NFL player.
Totally agreed. It's just funny, now no one would blame the player, or maybe you blame him a little bit, but I think more of the blame lies on the GM, where back then, it, like you're saying, it's the player that kind of gets the blame when they're drafted higher than they're worth.
He had at least one interception for 13 consecutive seasons. And I'm sorry, he never made a Pro Bowl. He is one of only two players in NFL history to intercept more than 50 passes and never make a Pro Bowl.
Who's, does it say who the other is or no?
Ken Riley.
Classic. Ken Riley is great.
Could there be a more generic Ken Riley? Like,
yeah.
What is
John
that?
Smith.
Like, what is that name? Ken Riley. That's fascinating. So... he actually played in a year with the he coached a year in the XFL too. So Terrell Buckley, you don't have to put respect on his name, but the way sometimes people have talked about Terrell Buckley as some sort of massive bust. Now, Tony Mandrich was a bust. I'll give you a bust here. Jamal Reynolds, picked number 10 overall by the Green Bay Packers, a bust. We talked about bad trades, and you can listen back, Wisconsin Man, Apple, Spotify, and those great places. You also can check at ESPN Madison for our multiple siding unlimited poll questions, including we asked what was the worst trade in Wisconsin history. Right now, 51% of you say trading Ray Allen. The Green Bay Packers traded Matt Hasselbeck in the 17th overall pick, which turned out to be Hall of Fame and multiple pro-time guard Steve Hutchinson, to the Seattle Seahawks for Jamal Reynolds and Torrance Morgan.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
That's your point.
Hasselbeck and Hutchinson both played for Seattle when they went to the Super Bowl.
Oy.
With Mike Holmgren.
That's a tough one.
This has been Jim, Matt, and Molly. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.